Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to a new edition of Absolute Truth Absolutely. This is your host, Gio, youth leader of LWIM, Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. I'm very happy, very content that you have downloaded this podcast, that you're listening to this audio. We strive to share the truth in a world full of uncertainty. And how do we know that we're standing in the truth? Well, Jesus says that if you abide in his word, you would be his disciple. Notice abide, the word, constantly inhabiting. And then he continues, then you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. One of the byproducts of knowing the truth via Jesus Christ is that you begin to see the falsehoods when they are promulgated. And the truth makes you free from falling into that deception, into that falsehood, living according to that which is deceitful, which is intended to make you a slave. It's very simple. It's a very simple concept, but only one that a person with clear thinking, a clear thinking mind and clear eyes can see. Unless you are a person, an individual, a personage who adopts truth, you will not be able to see the truth even when it hits you in the face. So when we go to the scripture, when we look at real life examples, when we indulge in these things in a philosophical manner, we try to do so looking at the truth of the matter, understanding that that truth will make us free. That's the idea behind these series of podcasts that we produce each and every week. I just implore you, I ask our listeners to share these with your friends, with your family members, forward them these links, the website lwym.org. These podcast episodes are available via our website. Please forward these to them so they too may know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. The other day I was thinking about this phrase that is commonly uttered by philosophers and others who generally like to ponder things of life. And it is this: those that do not know history are sentenced to repeat the past errors or the errors in the past. There are many different variations to this particular phrase, but the essential truth found behind it is something that is just absolute. It is unchanging. If you do not know the past, you will be sentenced, if you willfully ignore it, if you ignore it, period, you will commit the same errors that were also transgressed in the past. That's it. There is no other two ways about it. How do we know this? Well, because of human history. And we know that there's a constant in human history, and it is this: man is born into sin. And since man is born into sin, the machinations of man's heart will generally be guided towards evil. And I think the word here that I employed is wrong. I don't think guided, but rather would have an inclination, I think is the proper terminology, towards evil. Some people might ask or might rebuff, Gio, what about good people? Even Solomon in Ecclesiastes will tell you, and even the most honest person would have to tell you that they have committed sin. There is not a single good person on earth, anybody that's considered good, that has not sinned. I've sinned, you've sinned, everyone else has sinned. The only man that has not sinned in human history is called Jesus Christ. Came to us, died for our sins, and now we have access to the Father via Jesus' sacrifice. I mean, that's it. That's the open and shut case of this particular situation. But when we analyze this essential truth, which is that if you don't know the past, if you ignore it, you are going to commit the same errors that were committed in the past by your ancestors or other individuals. I mean, it couldn't be any truer. I want you to visit Ecclesiastes chapter number 1 for a second, and you'll see that Solomon, hundreds, thousands of years ago, was talking about this already. He says, we'll read from Ecclesiastes 1, verse 1 and on. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities. You can interpret vanity as nonsense, things that are not important, futility, frivolity. You can use any word to fill that in, because in essence, vanity is just air. It's nothingness. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. It's a continuum. It just continues. It's the same process over and over again. The sun also rises, verse 5, and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, they return again. There they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Many Christians have made this a sort of celebrity phrase. Instead of analyzing the actual truth contained behind the phrase and the context within the phrase itself, or rather where we find the phrase within that context. Again, verse 9, that which has been is what will be. Solomon is telling you everything that you have seen in the past, it will continue to repeat itself again in the future. Some people might say, Gio, that's really futile. No, not really. And I'll expound in just a moment. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new, it has already been in ancient times before us? Some people might say that these are verses of determinism, which they say the cosmos, God, some other entity that can be unknown or cannot be known, rather, he has determined these things, or it has determined these things for us, and therefore nothing will change. Here's where they are mistaken. Verse 11. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. Some people might say that Solomon was employing a broad blanket statement, but the truth of the matter is if you read the rest of Ecclesiastes, he dedicates it to telling us, make sure you acquire wisdom, make sure you enjoy the fruits of your labor, because if you do not, everything else is vanity. You will become entrenched and enthralled with things that will actually be a detractant in your life. That is what this is all about. And the truth of the matter is that if you look at these particular verses, you see the essential message that Solomon wants to get across, and it is this. Ladies and gentlemen, everything that is in the past will repeat itself in the future. Don't be part of the group that makes the mistake, commits the error of being ignorant of what has happened in the past, and since it repeats itself in the future, now they are part of the group that makes the same errors of the past when they ignorantly ignore the past in the future. That's what this is all about. He's in essence telling the reader, be very careful that you are willfully ignorant of what has happened in the past so that you will not commit the same mistakes that were committed by others in the past. He's giving you an advantage. The Bible itself is telling you, the Holy Spirit, using Solomon, employing Solomon to teach us a lesson. Look, these are the sins of the past. Learn from them. Don't commit them. Yet very many people fall into the trap. Instead of becoming informed, instead of educating themselves on what has, you know, passed in time immemorial, they say, I don't need to know history. History is not important. History is boring. I can't learn anything from history. And all of these other different phrases are employed. The truth of the matter is the following. When you look towards history, when you study it, you begin to see that there is a pattern that stitches the eras together. Solomon couldn't have been more right. When you look in the past, you see nations rising, nations falling. When you look in the past, you see supposedly what many people categorize as great men rising, great men falling. It's a constant, it's a circle, and it doesn't stop. It's over and over and over again. Again, you have the determinists who would tell you, Gio, if this is the case, then we should abandon ourselves. We should just literally, what you're preaching is a complete abandonment to determinism. And I say, no, God gives each and every one of us free will. And the reason that he exposits this in his word is for us to learn from it so that we don't commit the same mistakes of the past. He's telling you that there will be a great majority of people that will willfully ignore the past and they will commit the same atrocities that were committed in the past. Instead of being an educated fellow, instead of being someone who is enlightened intellectually and say, this is the thread. I see that there is a commonality here between the past and the present. Let me learn from the past so that I will not commit the same mistakes in the past. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether the collective buys into that essential truth or not. The truth of the matter is that this works at an individual level. This works at an individual level. It doesn't matter if the majority of people are still blinded by their sin, are still blinded by their willful ignorance. So long as you adopt this personally, it will bring eternal benefits to your life and to those that surround you. Even more so, Solomon tells us later on in Ecclesiastes, look for it. He says, wisdom is something that benefits infinitesimally the person who is the possessor of it. I mean, that is amazing. Wisdom. What is wisdom? The practical application of knowledge. So I have this knowledge, right? I know what happens in the past. Now I take that and I say, I need to apply this knowledge for future use. I have this knowledge that these were the sins that were committed. Now wisdom tells me, don't commit the same errors of the past. It's that simple. That's how these two things tie in together. Let me mention one more thing, because this is also a cause of confusion for many young people. There's this common phrase that is uttered in our generation, which says something like this, out with the old, in with the new. And if that isn't a broad blanket statement, such a generalizing statement, I don't know what it is. Because they are literally throwing out the baby with the bathwater in that particular phrase. Many people have not analyzed this or taken the time to actually deconstruct the idea behind this feeling, I don't know, ideology, dogma, whatever it is you want to call it. They're saying automatic everything that belongs to antiquity, everything that we believe to be old, we have to discard it, including morality, ethics, anything. Any ideas that have even helped us to progress to this point. I mean, if you think about it, it's nonsensical. It's idiocy. Because nowadays, you hear a lot of young people discarding, discounting, in many different ways, shapes, sizes, anything that their parents try to pass on to them as knowledge, as experience, so that it may help out the young people, they automatically discount them. And they say, that's old, Dad. That's the old way of thinking, Mom. I don't even want to reason like that, because that's the way it was in past generations. That's not the way it is in this new generation. And then when you analyze the new generation, you say, wait a minute. Obviously, there's a problem here. There's a disconnect. There's an erroneous thought process that is circulating, being disseminated through our culture, because more and more people, seems to me, that more and more people have just adopted heretical ideas, have adopted nonsensical ideas, and that it leads them down a path of destruction, down a path of perdition. It's the same thing that has happened in the past. Others in the past also said the same thing about previous generations. Forget that. That's no good. And slowly but surely, we saw the decadence setting in into certain societies because they forgot the past. See, there's also a danger to willfully discount the past, the errors, in that you're going to commit the same errors of discounting the past as it pertains to morality, as it pertains to ethics. It's happened in so many different nations. We could name so many different types of empires rising, falling, because they discarded the past. They discarded what brought them to prominence, if you will. So this argument that says out with the old, in with the new, yes, I am a person who enjoys technology, and I think technology is a great thing, but coupled with that, has also been the idea that somehow morality is antiquated. Ethics is antiquated when those things never go out of style. In reality, they've never ceased to exist. How to comport yourself in public. How to treat a fellow human being. What is right? What is wrong? These things, they never go old. Yet somehow, you'll notice that people have adopted the ideology that along with technology, we also have to throw out, we have to discard morality, ethics, these things that are truly important to us for the advancement of humankind. One last thing. If this idea is so true of we should just discard everything that's old, in with the new, that phrase, that ideology is it's ridiculous, because now what you're saying is that the previous knowledge that we had acquired, which led us to this point in history, which has allowed us to get, you know, to enjoy the advancements that we humans enjoy in this day and age, without that past knowledge, we would not be here today. So where does this phrase fit in? Where, please, if someone can explain to me how that even works. It doesn't. How can you simply discard the past and say, well, the law of gravity, it's an old law, we should automatically discard it? No, of course not. So why is this argument then, if it's nonsensical, employed with the Bible? It's such an old book. If that's the case, we should discard Mark Twain's books. We should discard Julius Caesar. We should just discard history altogether. We shouldn't learn anything from history. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And what we would have, even though we would not learn history, is a repetition of the past. So it doesn't change. It doesn't change. What can change is your personal maturity in learning from the past. Don't be like the rest of the common crowds, the masses, which say everything's fine, there's nothing to learn in history, and because they don't know their history, they're bound to repeat history's mistakes. Be a person who learns from history. Make it a point to learn a little more every day. Advance your knowledge every day as to historical facts. And you will see that this will benefit you in many ways more than one. Trust me. I can begin to enumerate them, and I don't have enough time to mention them all here. But one of them, let me give you one of the better ones, if you will, if I can even say that, is it will allow you to make better decisions. Trust me in this. You learn from the past, you look at the pattern that repeats right in front of your eyes, and you say, this hasn't changed. So it allows you to make better, more informed, wiser decisions. Try this, and trust me, you'll see that your maturity level, your spiritual maturity level, will exponentially improve. That's all the time I have left for this podcast. I thank you for tuning in. Well, not tuning in, downloading, I think would be the proper word here, for downloading this podcast. Share it with everyone else. Let them know the truth also in a world full of uncertainty. If you have any questions, please forward them to my inbox, Gio, that's spelled J-I-O, at lwim.org. Gio@lwim.org. Visit our website, lwim.org. Also, if you are in the vicinity, the Miami vicinity, visit us every single Friday night as we celebrate our Friday night youth meetings. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. On to the next occasion that we meet, may the Lord shine his face upon you.